Good to be with you in this experience called worship and to absorb this moment in God's presence and to receive, you know, his teaching to us from his word. If you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Daniel chapter 10 in the Old Testament. Get your finger on that and then bookmark over in Ezekiel chapter 12. We'll get you into that passage also. We're in our series called Greater Vision. You know, sometimes a person receives a vision from God, and they're very clear that they've got this vision, and they know what God wants them to do, and they know what God wants them to become, and they get going towards that vision, and then something happens. The vision gets delayed, it gets challenged, it gets resisted, it gets put on hold. And when we go through that experience, life gets very hard. We're starting to question at that point, did we really hear from God about that? Was he not saying something to us about the future? I think that we need to remind ourselves at those times that yes, he did give us vision. And yes, though it is delayed for a while, we'll get there. We'll get to the fulfillment stage. And it's very awkward when you believe that God has given you something to trust him for and you find that it's not happening. I want to encourage you today to open up your heart and receive from God whatever message you need to receive about his vision for your life. And that might mean that you get very excited about it. It might mean that you go out and you move to Cambodia or you get on the next bus that's heading to some other place. But I also want to encourage you to be willing to stay and process God's vision here in this city, because some of us are called to work it out right here in this location. I want to also say to you that if you're confused about your vision and you don't know what's coming next, this is a good day for you to pray about that and ask God to bring you further clarity. And if you want to remember something out of this series that's a real take-home statement, it's this. God gives his people vision. This is what we're learning over again. God actually wants to give vision to his people. He can give vision to his people, and they should receive it. Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. So we know that the God that we believe in wants to give us a tremendous sense of vision. It's who he is. But sometimes that vision gets a little murky and we get a little confused about it. Today, we're going to find out how to handle that. And so if you remember in our first message in the series, we talked about Jeremiah the prophet and how God spoke to him, and he asked him the question, hey, Jeremiah, if you are having a hard time on the ground level with men, how are you going to run with the horses? How are you going to be able to go to the next level? How are you going to be able to rise up to that next challenge that God is about to give to you? And we saw in that first message that God wants us to be impacting a greater sphere of people than we thought, and we need to pray about things. We need to wait upon him for his timing. And then in the second message last Sunday, we looked at a different part of the Bible, and we learned that the people who have vision from God are taught by God, they're moved by God, and they're inspired by God. And that the vision works itself out in our lives from the inside to the surface. And so if you were here last Sunday with us, maybe you went home and prayed about that, and you're asking God, show me how to let this vision work itself through in my heart so that it can result then in outward changes in behavior. I hope you got something out of that one. Today, we're looking at vision as it relates to delay. And my question for you is, what do you do if your vision gets delayed? How do you handle that? Well, we're going to find in the book of Daniel that there's an answer for that. And I want you to get ready for that here in a moment. Because there is something we can do to process vision delay. I want to begin by reading here at verse 1. In Daniel chapter 10, the words will be on the screen also. Let's take this in as God's word to us this moment. Here it is. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips. I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches. his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and I began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed, he said. Peace. Be strong now. Be strong. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that in the life of Daniel, we find someone who knew what it was like to handle a delay of vision. And so we pray as we spend these moments, Lord, here in your presence, that you would speak to us and that we would have a quiet enough hearts and spirit before you to be able to actually absorb and receive into our minds and hearts your message to us today. I thank you, Lord, for how you're speaking to our church all the time, and I pray that we'd have ears to listen to what the Spirit is saying to us, that we would have a great vision of what you're calling us to be and what you're calling us to do. We pray it in your name. Amen. Amen. That was a long passage of Scripture, wasn't it? 19 verses or so. I want to encourage you to spend some time in the prophets. You know, often you hear messages in churches that come from the Gospels or Acts or the Epistles or the letters. And we often hear messages from the historical books of the Bible and the wisdom literature. Not too often nowadays you hear sermons based out of the prophets. And yet, the prophetic literature in the Old Testament makes up about 25% of the whole Bible. So I'm just thinking, you know, like approximately one out of four sermons maybe should reflect the messages out of the prophets. So people like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, you know, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, all of those people, I think, are very important for us to pay attention to. And I encourage you to read through the prophets on your own. Daniel stands out in the Bible as a person who received incredible visions from God. When you read his book, you'll see that constantly God was informing him and showing him things about the future. He was a very special guy. In chapter 1 of Daniel, it tells us that he was selected with some other young men to be trained in the Babylonian courtyard. They were deemed to be handsome guys without blemishes, and they looked like they had potential. And so the king of Babylon said, I want those four young men to come and be in my leadership realm. And so Daniel and his friends were chosen for that. Verse 17, chapter 1, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. This was his capacity. God had created Daniel in such a way that he actually had sort of a spiritual antenna that was always up for God's voice. He could discern in his own times what God was saying to him and to the culture that he was part of. I want you to notice this about Daniel, that he was not sent and not starting as a prophet in the land of Israel, but in Babylon. The temple at Israel was already burned to the ground, and Daniel was taken captive over to Babylon by the army, and there he was brought up in Babylonian culture. There he became a prophet. There he learned how to receive from God the vision that God wanted to show him. And his whole life was spent under a number of different kings, such as Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. Both were kings of Babylon. Following them, we have Darius, the ruler of the Medes. And then we have Cyrus, the ruler of the Persians. And so in chapter 10 of Daniel, where we are located, that's during the time of King Cyrus and the Persian Empire. Daniel received greater vision from God for a number of different things. God showed him how long the captivity of Israel would last in Babylon. God revealed to him all kinds of messages. On one occasion, he saw a ghost-like hand writing a message on the wall. The king asked him for an interpretation, and Daniel said, "I'll give it to you." And it basically said this, "Your kingdom's done." So the guy had courage. He not only heard the vision, saw the vision, but he could speak it. He had visions of beasts and creatures. He had a vision for worship restored in a new temple in Jerusalem. He had vision for the end of humanity. God sort of telescoped his prophetic glance forward into human history so Daniel could see the end of days. Daniel also received vision from angels who delivered to him certain specific messages. And for all of that, he usually paid a price, being thrown into a fiery furnace, or being thrown into a lion's den, or being ridiculed and mocked by the Babylonian or Persian people. We see that Daniel stood strong. I think if anyone knows what it's like to live with unfulfilled vision, it's this guy. Because most of the vision that God gave to him never got completed in his lifetime. It happened after he died. And so he was faithful. And he was a voice in his generation about those future realities that were in front of him. And yet he did not doubt them, and he moved towards them. So when we're asking ourselves the question, how do we deal with delayed vision in our lives when God shows us something and it isn't seemingly coming to pass? I think we just need to go into Daniel and anchor ourselves there and learn what he learned about accepting from God how to handle a vision delay. Here's the first thing I want to encourage you to process as you think about handling delayed vision. First of all, this: ask for God's clarity on it. Go ahead and ask him. I mean, this is so basic, isn't it? In one sense, we can almost miss it. We go, yeah, you know, if God has given me a vision for my future and he's called me to some kind of new reality that I'm to work towards, if it's not happening, I should ask God about it. I should pray about it. I should seek him. I should go to the one who I believe gave me the vision to begin with and say, what's happening? What do you want me to see in relationship to this? We should do this before we get distraught and before we get discouraged, before we get too confused. And then we should ask God for clarity whenever we need it. And sometimes that clarity comes in the form of wisdom. And you know, the Bible is a book that is full of wisdom. It says to us that whenever we're lacking wisdom, we should ask of God who gives willingly to everyone this gift of wisdom. James chapter 1. And so right at the very beginning here, as you think about the possibilities of handling vision delay, I want to encourage you to ask God about it. Think about your own life. What are you waiting for clarity from God for? As you think of your future, as you think of the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years in front of you, what kind of clarity do you need from God about your future? Daniel sets himself up to get crystal clear clarity from God, as much as God will give to him. It tells us here that he sought God for 21 days. That's 3 weeks, friends. 3 weeks of seeking God, 3 weeks of waiting upon God and asking him for further clarity about vision. It tells us that he went into a time of mourning, which means he felt sort of an emotional sadness about the circumstances of the vision that he was given. And he took that instinct deep in his heart to know the future, and he went to God and he said, God, what are you trying to show me here? For 21 days, he prayed. Chapter 10, verse 2, he says, I mourned for 3 weeks. Chapter 10, verse 8, I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Verse 16, I am overcome with anguish, he says, because of the vision. Sometimes God gives vision to us in our lives, and it actually emotionally really, really wreaks havoc upon us. And it makes us ask the question, like, God, what is going on here? I thought you were in control of my circumstances. I thought that you were arranging things for me to head in a certain direction. That's not happening, God. So what is it that you want to show me about that? The point is, sometimes we struggle with a sense of delayed vision, but we don't go to God with those questions. We don't ask of God. We don't inquire of the Lord. We just accept delays. Then we wonder why we get discouraged. Friend, I think it's your right as a follower of the living God to ask God for his opinion on things. I don't think God is threatened by that. And sometimes his answer is this. Here it is. It gives you a clear picture of what to do. Sometimes his answer is not now. Sometimes his answer is no. Sometimes he's silent. Let God do what he's going to do, but I don't think we should hold back on asking God for clarity. I think that's what it means to pray. I think that's what it means to wait upon God. And we think we're pretty cool if we pray for like 5 minutes a day, right? We go, that's by today's standards, probably a long time for some people. You know, we prayed for 5 minutes. I mean, can't God do it all in 5 minutes? Can't he answer us every question in 5 minutes? Sure he could. But God doesn't work on our timelines. And I think when we look at biblical territory of how to seek God, we often see that there's men and women in the Bible who prayed for days before they got an answer. Weeks sometimes, maybe even months, mourning, fasting, interceding until God shows them what he wants to show them. By the way, next weekend, the leaders of our church are going away to a camp for our annual prayer and discernment retreat. And it's a time when the pastors and elders and spouses go off campus to a place where we can seriously pray and wait upon God. And try to discern his voice together. Would you pray for us as we do that? Would you pray for the leaders of the church that they would have open hearts to receive from God whatever he wants to show us, because we want to be a church that is faithful. I think it's so important that leadership models that and leadership does that. And so maybe today the most important thing that you might need to do is just to set some time aside in your busy life. Set some real time aside for praying and asking God about his future for you. And I don't mean 5 minutes. Think of a day next week. Think of an afternoon in the next 2 weeks. Take a Saturday and devote it to God. Take a few evenings in the week ahead of you, perhaps, and make arrangements so that other things can be looked after. And devote yourself to a moment of prayer and listening to God, so that you can ask him for clarity about his vision for your life. And I believe that that'll help a lot. Well, let's just be clear about something here as we think about delayed vision. Not every vision is a vision from God. How many times have you heard people spout off something that actually, after a while, you realize that wasn't from God at all? They were just dreaming. They were just eating too much pizza. They were having holy hallucinations. Right? It happens. As some of our friends sometimes, they astound us, right? You just go, would you calm down? And like, no, I think God's doing this in my life. Well, great. Well, then we'll watch and see how that all comes together. And then sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's just human presumption. Sometimes it's our own personal agendas that we project onto the will of God. And we say, God, it's got to be like this. Sometimes it's just our own misguided, selfish ambition intertwined with what we think is a vision from God. So just because a person says, I've got a vision from God, doesn't mean that they have a vision from God. And whenever someone claims to have a vision from God, that vision should be tested. Right? We have enough knowledge about that this side of the cross, that after Jesus died and was risen from the grave, this Holy Spirit was given to us. We're living in an era when we have great equipment and resources sent our way that we can access to test out vision. For instance, we have the scriptures. We have this book. You've all got one, I hope. If not, buy one. Read it. This is the Word of God, the written Word of God. And when we study it and look at it and learn from it and read it and absorb it, we can hear God speaking to us through the scriptures. That's a way of testing out vision. Then we have the body of Christ, the local church, which we're part of, right? We're all in this together. And in this mysterious realm of the church, we find the capacity, even in the church, to test out vision. Let me tell you how that can work. You have some friends in this church. Go to them and say to them, I need you to pray with me about something. I need you to think through some things with me. I'm going to share with you what's on my heart, which I think is a vision from God. And I want you to discern this with me. I want you to pray about it with me. And I'm trusting you. You're a mature person in Christ. And I want you to speak into what I think is God's vision for me. Take advantage of that. Take full advantage of that. Maybe do that in your life group together with others. You're meeting during the week and you're already in tight community. You can use that group of friends to help you discern God's vision for your life. Then there's prayer and fasting. These are the kind of main staples in the Bible of discerning God's vision for us. Often we'll ignore the fasting one. We'll go, oh, that's really hard in our generation. Well, it's hard because we just haven't learned how to do it. And how to prepare for it. And so, but when we are in that trajectory of prayer and fasting, it's like heaven opens up to us, friends. It's like everything gets really clear for a while. And we go, oh, wow, I should do this more often. And I encourage you to do some prayer and fasting. And then there's words that God sends to us to confirm his vision through dreams, through special prophetic confirmation that happens through others in the body of Christ. This happens regularly around here. People get senses from God in words, and those things also need to be tested, but they can be part of the overall way God brings clarity to us. And remember the wisdom test, right? If God is laying a vision on your heart, filter it through the laws of wisdom, which are mentioned in the Bible in many places. I think that God, for the most part, will not violate that law of wisdom. And so if someone says, I've got a vision from God, but it actually wreaks great havoc in their lives and puts relationships in jeopardy and just seems to go against everything that the scriptures stand for, I think that it's lacking wisdom. Sometimes people just need to be challenged. When they say they have a vision from God, we need to challenge them to test it before they put all of their eggs in one basket. The second thing that we need to do as we handle delayed vision, I think, is this. We've got to accept God's timing and God's ways. We need to realize that there's more going on than what we see with our own physical eyes. And in chapter 10, what Daniel found out was there was a lot going on that was over top of him. He didn't see it. And God showed him a great war that was taking place in a spiritual realm that was above him. And when he saw that, he began to understand, oh, that's why the vision seems to be delayed. That's why it took 21 days until the vision was fulfilled. Look at chapter 10 of Daniel at verse 10. Actually, verse 12. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. You know what this is saying to us, friends? It's saying to us that for Daniel, there was this angelic war happening above him in the spiritual realm. And it mentions these supernatural beings. Two of them are archangels. We know one to be Michael for sure. Michael the archangel, that powerful, supernatural angel of God who comes and does war against other fallen angels. And then there's Gabriel, another archangel. His name is not mentioned in chapter 10, but it is in chapter 9. And I believe it's the same person who is speaking to Daniel in the first 19 verses. Gabriel is the messenger archangel delivering to Daniel the vision that he needs to see. Then there's this mention of the prince of Persia. Who's that? Well, that's not a human prince. That is no doubt a reference to a fallen angel who has territorial power over the whole Persian kingdom. Now, none of this should surprise us. Those of us who are tuned to the gospel of Christ, and those of you who have been walking with Jesus for a while, you know that there's a spiritual battle, right? You know that there's a realm that we cannot see in which certain things are occurring all the time. In the book of Ephesians, it tells us, chapter 6, it's a message to a church. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of this dark world in heavenly places. There is a battle going on all the time. We don't get to see it. We get glimpses of it, but we know it's happening. And so God is saying to Daniel, and I think he would say to us, just realize this, friends, if you are experiencing spiritual delays in your life as you're seeking God, it might be connected to warfare. It might be that you're in a battleground situation. It might be that you're in a zone of spiritual conflict that is happening above you. That should not trouble you to make you lose faith. That should equip you to stand strong in the armor of Christ, right? To put on the full armor of God, to take your stand against that spiritual realm that is against you. For 21 days, Daniel got no answer from God. I can picture him just, you know, in his ranting and in his praying and in his crying out like, God, would you show me what's happening? All my life you've given me vision, he might say. All my life you've interpreted my dreams. Why am I not getting clarity on this vision? And then the messenger angel Gabriel comes and shows him it's a spiritual battle. There's a battle over you that you don't know anything about. You're highly esteemed and you're on the ground and you're trying to do your best to obey God and follow God. But there's things happening above you that you don't even realize. So be strong. Sometimes the ways of God are quite mysterious, and they cannot be compared to our timelines. I don't know if you're like me, but you know, when I ask God for clarity of vision, I want it right now. Like 5 seconds ago would be better, Lord. And so sometimes I'm coming to God with my timeline, like, oh God, would you please show me right this moment what's going to happen next week? What's going to happen next year? What direction we're going to go in as a church? I tell you this, God is not bound by our timelines. God does not have to bend to our wishes. Sometimes he will give us what we ask for, and then we'll regret it later. And he'll say, yeah, be careful what you ask for. I'll show you things. And sometimes he'll just say, not now. You've got enough to do. This is the way God works. In Isaiah chapter 55, we read this. This is God speaking. Take it into your own heart, okay? Isaiah 55 at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. What's God saying to us through this passage? Well, probably many things, but I think one of them is this. I know what I'm doing. When I send my word out over you, it will not come back to me empty. It will accomplish that for which I sent it out. When I give you a vision, when I paint a picture of your future, as you walk with me, as you follow me, it'll happen according to my timeline. My ways are not your ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Sometimes it's kind of embarrassing to have to explain to others why we have made certain predictions that haven't come to pass. And sometimes our reputations can take a huge hit when we find ourselves declaring things. We say, God told me it's going to happen in this amount of time. And we're like, really? And then that time comes to pass and it's not done. And then we have a reputational hit. There may be people who have lost confidence even in some of us, because we've made statements and predictions that have not come to pass. Remember this, not everybody who says, I've got a vision from God, has a vision from God. Vision needs to be tested. Before we build our lives all around it, we have to make sure that what we're hearing and believing is from God is actually from God. Did I mention to you guys Ezekiel 2? Did I tell you about that as a passage? Ezekiel chapter 12, there's another section here that is very, very similar to the Daniel passage. And I've been reading this and meditating on it since December. And it says this, Ezekiel 12, verse 21. Again, we have another prophet here named Ezekiel. He also receives vision from God. And he's battling with this sense of vision delay. It says this, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, what is this proverb you have in the land of Israel? In other words, there was this saying that everybody was mentioning back then. And here it is. The days go by and every vision comes to nothing. That's what the people were saying in Ezekiel's day. Yeah, the leaders always talk about vision, but it never happens. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am going to put an end to this proverb and they will no longer quote it in Israel. Say to them, the days are near when every vision will be fulfilled, for there will be no more false visions or flattering divinations among the people of Israel, but I, the Lord, will speak what I will, and it shall be fulfilled without delay. For in your days, you rebellious people, I will fulfill whatever I say, declares the sovereign Lord. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, the Israelites are saying, the vision he sees is for many years from now. And he prophesies about the distant future. Therefore, say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. None of my words will be delayed any longer. Whatever I say will be fulfilled, declares the sovereign Lord. Imagine for a moment, you're Ezekiel. You're living in a time when people are mocking the leadership. They're saying, we've heard enough about vision. We're living in exile. This is hard. And Ezekiel's like, no, but you're still needing to hear from God. And they say, yeah, but every vision comes to nothing. And Ezekiel has to go back to them and say, you know what? Every true vision of God will be fulfilled. It's going to happen. Arrange your lives accordingly. I think it's easy to get into a moment of making excuses for a lack of vision. We might say to ourselves, well, we're living in times when we don't have that luxury. Well, the opposite is true. We're living in times when God does speak to his people. And the vision needs to be tested, but it also needs to be believed in. I don't know if you've ever experienced vision delay in your own life, but when you have or when you will, it's quite emotionally traumatic. Sometimes it almost shatters your faith because you're like, didn't God say to me that this is what he was going to do? Why is it not happening now? In my own life, in my own married life with Marianne, I've experienced that two times, especially as it relates to the realm of having children. And the first time it happened to me, you know, we were a young couple. We'd been married for 3 years, and we were in Bible college together, and we'd planned out that, you know, God willing, we will have children in our fourth year of Bible college. And so we made arrangements for that. In fact, we felt that God said to us that he was going to give us children. And we thought, well, that's probably going to happen on an internship because wouldn't that be perfect? You know, we kind of step out of college for a while. We do some things in another church. And then we come back in. We got one more year and then we're ready to go. And so this was our plan, right? And this was our, quote, prediction to our friends. And we openly said, well, we're expecting God to give us a child on our internship. And after 3 years of college, you know, you get booted out, right? They send you out to the local church so the local church can test you and see, is there a gift in you that we should let happen in the local church or not? And so we were on internship, and my wife got pregnant. She was pregnant just before, and we thought, great, this plan is working out so well. God, you are so good. We arrived in Calgary, and we had a five-month internship with First Alliance Church in the South, and off we go. We're having a great time, and probably about 2 months in, Marianne has a miscarriage. I'm like, oh, it was so crushing, and it was so humiliating. And I know God was doing a deep work in us back then, and many things were, you know, contributing to this, but It was hard to deal with. It was emotionally hard to deal with because we were like, God, didn't you say to us, you're going to give us children? We want children. And we want to raise them for you and let them be your servants wherever you take them. And we're serious about it, God, but please give us children. She gets pregnant and we have a miscarriage. The whole church found out about it. It kind of sucks, you know, when you've announced to people that we believe God has set this up and then it doesn't come to pass. And then after that, we got placed here in Airdrie and, you know, we arrived here childless in a city full of kids. This church called us to be their pastor and we didn't have children. Maybe the elders back then had prophetic insight. We were just hoping that one day we'd have kids. We started here childless and then we went into years of infertility. We had 6.5 years of infertility. And all the babies were being born in the church and we're like happy, authentically happy for the families, but inside we're aching. We're like, oh God, I thought you were going to give us children. Somewhere along the middle of that whole experience, I remember going for a long walk with God, crying out to him, like, God, what are you saying to me? Why is this vision being delayed? Don't you realize that we're living in a city full of kids and we like kids? And I heard a voice say to me these exact words, I will put in her arms what she longs for. And I thought, oh, that sounded like God. And I kind of kept it quiet to myself. I learned not to make too many predictions. I will put in her arms what she longs for. I longed for it too, but it was like God was favoring Marianne, not me. And so it took about a year or two after that until Marianne got pregnant again. We had 3 miscarriages along the way. And finally, our firstborn child arrived. And I said to Marianne, until I hold that kid in my arms, it ain't done. I'm in the hospital. I'm like, give me that kid. Okay, there he is right there. It's here. It's real. Thank you, God. You fulfilled the vision. But a long delay. Now, this side of it, I go 6.5 years. That's not so long. But when you're going through it as a young couple, that's forever. And it's traumatic. If we have any compassion in our church at all, have compassion for the couples that are still praying through these issues. It's hard territory. And our hearts go out to them. And we want those solutions. We pray over people whenever we need to that God will give them children. Here's the other side of the coin. After we'd had 3 children, I said to God, no more kids. I'm not a Vogelaar, right? I'm not a Hardy. I wish I was. I wish I had that bandwidth. I wanted to be that kind of person. And my wife said, no, you're not a Hardy or a Vogelaar. Give it up. So we had 3 kids. And that was awesome. And we kind of said, God, we're good now. That's great. Thank you. We're done now, God. We believe that that's your vision for us. We're a 3-kid family. Very typical in Airdrie. And life went on. We thought this is good. Until, this is only, you know, several years back now. My wife says to me one night, we got to talk. I go, what's up? She says, no, we need to talk. And she said, I might be pregnant. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not. And she said, no, I might be. I said, you can't be because we're done. She said, no, I know we want to be done, but something's not happening for me. It's funny how these sermons blend together from last week. I don't get that. But anyways, we went into a time where we had to pray to God again about that, and she was getting a little bit nervous. She had that look in her eyes like, God, if this is for real, there's a whole lot that has to change for us. We have to want this. We have to enjoy this. We have to have more money. We have to have a bigger house. A whole bunch of things would have to change, and I'm like, just give me a chance. I'm going to go for a prayer drive again, right? So I went for a long prayer drive, and I really sought the Lord. I mean, I was pounding on the dashboard like, oh, God, I thought you made it clear to us 3's enough. And I heard a voice say to me these words. Do you think I would let that happen to you now? And I went home and I said to Marianne, you're not pregnant. She said, how do you know? I said, God told me. What did he say? He said, do you think I would let that happen to you now? I said, you're not pregnant. She said, I don't believe that till I have the proof of that. And it took about 1.5 months more, and God showed us she was not expecting. Oh, what a long delay a couple months is. Really, your mind starts racing, oh God, help, help, help. And at that time, one of our elders and his wife got pregnant, and they were in their 40s, and were like, is there something in the water in Airdrie? God, I don't want us to get pregnant again, God. I want sleep. It took me 8 years to catch up since we had kids. Delays happen. I want to ask you, what are you waiting on God for that only He can fulfill? What are you asking Him for clarity on related to your future? Don't hold back on the ask. Let God show you what He's going to show you. He's not intimidated by your request. Sometimes I think we've got to take a stand for what we believe is the voice of God, even if others don't agree with us. We say, no, the Lord spoke to me about this. I don't know how it's going to work out, but it will work out. If you're facing a delay of vision in your life, don't give up. And don't lean upon yourself. You see, dealing with delayed vision means that we have to receive God's strength to go forward. Daniel needed strength. Daniel was overcome. He was emotionally exhausted after seeing this great battle over his life. He's like, oh God, I can't even stand up. I have no strength in me. Verse 15, while he was saying this to me, I bowed my face toward the ground and was speechless. The one who looked like a man touched my lips and opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I'm overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. You get the picture? Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed. He said, peace, be strong now, be strong. And those words to Daniel, they caused him to stand up as he realized, God, you are in control of the future of my life. You are the one that confirms the vision to us. You are the one who brings to pass your predictions and your word. I have nothing to fear. And that's what I want to pray with you about this morning. So would you stand together? I would like us to pray that every vision from God that's landed into our hearts would be fulfilled. All right. Let's lean into this boldly. Let's just bow our hearts before Him. I want to say this to all of you who are here. Some of you are in the middle of vision delay. And it's perplexing and it's hard and it's confusing. Remember what God says. Every word will be fulfilled. In God's timing, according to God's ways, every true vision from God will come to pass. You keep laying hold of it. You keep making a commitment to believe in His promises. You keep saying, Lord, I'm going to trust in You. You're more than enough for me. I don't have to know how. I don't have to know when. I don't necessarily have to know where. I just have to remind myself, You are in supreme control. And I can trust You. You will never let me be tempted beyond which I can bear. You have plans to bless me and give me a great future. And I trust in You. I'm giving over to You now, Lord, my trust. And I'm asking You, Lord, to give me peace about what I can't control. Peace about what's in Your hands now. I leave it with You. And I thank You that You have it. I thank You that You're going to make it realized in its right time. Because God, my ways are not Your ways. My thoughts are not Your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are Your ways, God, higher than my ways. And I trust You. Amen. Let's sing together.